And welcome in Sarah Baker Hansen here on the show. Good morning, Sarah. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
Doing well. Are you winged out now? Are we beyond the wings? Because we're going to be at Oscars today, and we didn't know if there was a gold-plated wing that we could present them for winning the bracket.
You know, I don't have a gold-plated wing, but if I would, that would be really awesome.
Okay. Well, we'll be there from 10 to 6. So if you want to, if you still want to get some wings and you haven't gotten your fill on that yet, well, that's where we'll be.
Sounds good. I think I'm on a wings free diet for a couple months.
Hey, no coincidence. I'm noticing since the wing bracket came out that wing stops are popping up all over town. I don't know if there's any correlation.
I'm sure that's why. Yeah. They asked me my timing, and so we coordinated that.
Hey, so I want to first start with this. So I saw a study. We've talked about this as COVID impacted the restaurant industry in terms of staffing. And there are some places here in Omaha that still are struggling being fully staffed. So that impacts your experience there. But there is restaurants that are offering 24-hour service fell 18% from 2020 to 2024. I watched this yesterday. And the panel got into a debate. Do you think the 24-hour service, which we have fewer and fewer in this town, staff shortage, or people just aren't staying out as late as they once did?
You know, I think, I really truly think it's both. I remember in Omaha, well, we don't have very many late night places to begin with. So that's a pretty, that's a pretty small group of places. Mm-hmm. Which, I think there is a certain group of people, there always are, who go to concerts or sporting events and, want to go out to eat afterward. And so I think those places, I think they closed earlier during COVID. And I think a lot of those places, like, for example, places in the Blackstone District or a couple places on South 13th Street and several places downtown, still are back to serving until like 11 p.m. or midnight. But a lot of places, I've noticed this across the board, every other week when I write my review, I have to look up, the address, the phone number, and the hours. And I feel like more and more restaurants in Omaha close at 8. And this is a trend that I've noticed from sort of 2021 on. Like, there are very few, and in fact, the review that I have coming out later today, it's out in Millard, and I was shocked to see that it was open several nights until 11 p.m. I was just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they're open that late. Because so many places now just simply close at 8. And for somebody like me and Matthew, who often works until 6 or 6:30, like, we have to hustle to get to a restaurant by 8. And so when I look at what I'm reviewing, I always, send them a text or leave them a note, close at 8. So we got to be on top of it.
Have you noticed, if you've interacted with patrons of these establishments, that they've learned to adjust to that? It kind of, as Gary said, it's almost like the new norm that even when you go out to a bar on a weekend, it's kind of embedded in your brain of, I know there's very few selections now that stay open until actual, the legal closing time. Have people just, from your understanding, just kind of adjusted to that? And that's just the new norm that people now have kind of accepted?
I think a lot of people have, and I don't know if people would actually prefer that or if they just accept it because it's how it is. I definitely at times seek out restaurants that are open and serve food until, 9 or 10, because if you're doing something, like if you're going to a movie, for example, and the movie starts at 7, you either have to eat dinner at 5. With the retirement crowd, or you have to eat dinner at 9. And so the places that close at 8 are just kind of like out. And so it kind of has created a little bit of a different scenario. You either have to, kind of make your plan according to what area of town you're going to be in. And you really do have to look at those times, because I've definitely gone to restaurants before and showed up, and they were about to close and we couldn't eat. So, I do think it probably does have to do with staffing, but I think also it probably just has to do with the fact that, maybe the majority of people do dine out a little bit earlier than they used to. Like, I think it has gotten tougher to get, for example, a 6:30 reservation at restaurants in Omaha. Like, when I look at restaurant reservations, there are 5 o'clock and there are 8 o'clock. There's nothing between 6 and 7, hardly ever, unless you're really booking early.
Why do you think so I agree with you. There are a couple of places that I really like to go to that, I mean, if you're in before 8, you're good, but they start shutting down at 8. Why do you think 8 is the selected time to close?
I mean, I think, I don't exactly know. I mean, I feel like people kind of think, you know, dinner time on weeknights probably is over by 8, like for most people, or for families, you know, people are eating, you know, I think people are eating closer to 6 or 6:30. And honestly, like, you know, during COVID times, you know, shut your laptop at 5, you know, cocktail hour begins immediately because there's nothing else to do. So I think probably a lot of people adjusted their schedules a little bit. And I know, you know, like I said, a lot of times it really has forced me and Matthew to go out earlier. For example, last weekend we had a dinner reservation at 7:45. And so, but we were ready by like 5:30, and we're like, well, what are we going to do? Like, we don't want to just sit at home for 2 hours until our reservation. So we went and had a cocktail before dinner, which in the old days, we would have done that after dinner. And so it even is kind of a switch to, you know, how we do things. I mean, that could also be a sign of me getting older, which I don't want to think about. This could be the truth.
Sarah, I know we see them all throughout the year with restaurants popping up and new developments. A lot of that dictates where you see restaurants and what time they do. But as we do get into, we start thinking about patio season, we start thinking about some other options too. Is this a time that you do typically start to see new restaurants, new bar and grills, new patio options start to pop up when it does come to the newer restaurants that we expect throughout the year? Is this a popular time for that?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think the best time to open a restaurant in Omaha is in spring. People are, you know, the days are longer. People are really excited to get out. They want to go try new things and do different stuff or even revisit their old favorites. And I've noticed, you know, around the old market, the past couple of weeks, you know, all the patios are full. And it's cool too, because, you know, there's some new restaurants that have opened on the east side of 10th Street there. And they both have outdoor patios that I think are going to prove to be super popular this year. I realized the other week, someone asked me the question of what were my favorite Omaha patios. And so I went to my own blog and I typed it in the search, and I realized that I have not done an updated patio story since the launch of my blog. So. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's probably high time for a patio story, because we're getting to the season and, you know, people want to know. And like I said, I think there are just a bunch of new patios around Omaha that probably I need to go sit on.
Hey, we also need to add rooftop.
Yep.
Yeah.
Get more of those.
Yeah.
I think
there are several rooftops.
Yeah. We need more rooftop dining in Omaha.
Agreed.
I'm trying to think, like, off the top of my head, the only rooftop dining experience I can think of is Pitch in West Omaha. Mm-hmm. Can you think of others?
And I know it's under construction. It's more of a bar, but 1912 in Benson.
Oh, yeah,
yes,
yeah.
You can sit on the rooftop.
Yeah, and you obviously have food there too. But I know they're temporarily closed because I think they're doing some type of renovation.
I think they're reopening to something different.
Oh, okay.
Off the record.
Okay. Oh,
I don't know if I should say that on radio.
It doesn't matter. It's said.
A rebrand or just a rename?
I probably shouldn't. Okay. My one of my sources might be listening.
Okay, so on the heels of that, because I was at Dante's recently.
Yeah.
And man, they're coming up on maybe 2. I mean, they're getting close to, they're like 17, 18 years they've been open. And so we talk about all these new places opening, but man, that list of restaurants that have closed in this city in 2024, and I mean, we're only a few months into this year, are getting longer and longer. And I'm thinking, man, that is a place that has prospered through a lot of rough times to stay open. And there aren't many in this town anymore that are like, hey, we've been open for 15 plus years. And I'm thinking, what is the key to places like that, that this ongoing prosperity, they're able to withstand newcomers into the same field that is offering the same thing they are, and just the staffing, people aren't out as much, you know, the economy, those kind of things?
Yeah, it is interesting. I was just looking at Dante's website. They opened in 2009. So they have been around for more than a decade now. going on 15 years. I think it's interesting. I mean, I think there were a lot of restaurants that opened around that time. And some are still here and some are not, but I can think of a handful of more kind of high-end restaurants that are still comfortable. And I think one thing that Nick does at Dante so well, and really is one of the best in the city, I think, at really, you know, when Dante opened in 2009, it was very trendy to say you were like local and seasonal. Like it was a thing, you know, you had I remember a lot of restaurants like Lot 2 in Benson and Grape Bloom who have these sort of like chalkboard in the restaurant that listed all the local suppliers that they worked with. Like I remember that being a big moment when I started writing about food in Omaha. And Dante was one of those restaurants that did that. And Dante is still doing that. And I think that focus on kind of local seasonal eating has really served them well. And they do list their suppliers and their partners, but they don't make a big deal out of it, really. It's just kind of become part of who they are. And I think the diner has come to really have high expectations mm-hmm. of the kitchen because of that. And the kitchen is always able to meet those expectations with really great. I mean, just a couple weeks ago, they had a post of a chef and owner, Nick Strahacker, holding a big basket of ramps, which are this like amazing kind of first produce of the season, sort of onion. And, you know, it's so cool. Like that is something that you're probably only going to find at maybe one or two restaurants in Omaha. They're really hyper-focused on local and seasonal ingredients. And so that's really cool to me. I've always really liked that. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that they still do that and that they really, it's part of their DNA now. It's not just a trend.
Yeah, Nick and Seth do a great job over there.
Yeah.
Sarah, yeah. I think, you know, go ahead, sorry.
To the same effect, I think, in a different type of food in a different atmosphere, but Boiler Room. Tim Nicholson, who's been at Boiler Room for a decade, does that too. And really keeps things fresh and interesting and seasonal and local and all of that. And I think, you know, the diner's palette has kind of grown with those restaurants.
Yeah.
And now there's a whole bunch of people in Omaha who go to those restaurants because they've learned to love that.
Sarah, this kind of goes back to the new developments around the area that are attracting restaurants. And we're seeing that area between Miller North and Boys Town blow up. We've already seen the Charlestons that was in the First National Bank Parkway area move over there. And now Mahogany's over there. And I believe Mahogany is either on the verge of opening that new building or they already have. I know they had a soft opening not that long ago.
Yeah.
It's odd to me just because I've known Mahogany to be in that spot. I've known that Charleston's to be in that spot too.
Yeah.
I'm a little perplexed on this one. I have mixed feelings about it because it looks like it's a much better area for them. It looks like that's going to be a thriving new entertainment area. But you know, you always remember some of those spots that are kind of hard to find even. And maybe that's another reason why they tried to get out of that spot. But I mean, two staples in that area that have just moved essentially a little bit south.
It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Like, I'm also a little bit perplexed by that. Like I read about both of those moves and I get it. Like maybe they wanted to refresh the dining room. Maybe there were some, you know, things they could put in those spaces that they didn't have at their other spaces. But really like the location to me, just from, you know, from looking at it on paper seems like kind of a wash, right? Like, are there really that many more people that little distance apart that are going to be there? Or I don't know. Like, I don't really know why they made that move. Maybe there was some incentive that they were given to do that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it struck me as a little bit random too.
All right, we'll get you out on this, and you're on the clock now. Has nothing to do with draft day. Sal in our stream wants to know if he can get a plate recommendation at the new place in Dundee. He's going there this weekend for date night.
The Udalali?
Yes.
Well, I've only been there as a casual diner once, and I only had a cocktail, so I don't have any recommendations yet, but I've seen a lot of buzz on it online, and I think probably, you know, the thing to get is the renewed Mark's Mac and Cheese. I mean, I think that has to be the signature item on the menu, but I'm sure I'll find out at some point soon.
Always an awesome conversation. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Bye.
That's Sarah Baker Hansen. Kind of feels lost not to talk about wings for the first time in 3 months.
And especially with what we have going on today.
Couple of things here in the response. So Justin writes into the Equibank inbox. He thinks because the closing at 8, you can clean up and other things to get home around 9-ish. Staffing has to play into that, I bet.
Yeah. Am I wrong, though? This was even before COVID. And especially in the Exarban Village area, because I remember after hockey games going to Dudley's when that was still a thing, now Backlot. But even going to DJs and other places in Exarban Village, it seemed like, and this actually goes back to when Omaha Hockey played at the CHI Health Center, and we would go over to, why am I completely blanking on, come on, the corner right there over by CHI Health Center.
DJs?
No. Other side, right by the interstates. Mad Factory. Jeez. Oh. I was having a senior moment, and I'm not even a senior. That they started phasing out those longer hours, too, where we would go, and by the time we got done with the game, or we'd have to get our order in quickly. But and I get the kitchen's going to close at a certain time, but you know, service itself started, like they would come by and say last call earlier and earlier. And this was all before COVID. But and you're obviously very familiar with the Exarban Village, too. I think even before COVID, you started seeing that on Fridays and Saturdays of, all right, it's closing time. Then you look at your watch like, man, we've been here that long. And they're like, wait a minute, it's 10:30. Yep. And so I think COVID probably had more of a wide reach with that. Yep. But it was definitely something that was already trending that way before we got the COVID.
Hey, I think we need to make this a weekly segment. So we had Andy Kendi on last week, and he told us that he was a former server
at Chili's.
And
he helped open a couple locales, too.
He helped open a couple of restaurants. So celebrities, what their first job is? John Higgins chimes in. Where do you think Higgy worked as a teenager in this town?
Not the zone. Didn't exist yet.
I mean, I think of John Higgins, not only the referee, but more importantly as the roofery. So I assumed he was getting his hands dirty, doing some manual labor.
Yeah, learning.
It was in the food industry.
Okay. Oh.
He worked at this place as a teenager.
Was he a busboy at Chi-Chi's?
Wow, that's going way back. Hey, how good were those margaritas?
Chi-Chi's was good. Chi-Chi's salsa is really good.
Mama's Pizza.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. That's the
goat of all pizzas, too.
That's where your NIL deal is.
Nice. Does he still got some pull over there?
Oh,
yeah. I mean, he's got pull everywhere now. But
he does. Allen Fieldhouse, yeah.
Just
Mama's
drop his
Pizza.
Name. So if you're going to Mama's Pizza, yeah, there you go. Hey, I know one of the celebrity...
Yep.
Former workers here.
Did he say, did John he specify Higgins. What he did?
No.
Okay. He tossed some dope?
He was a greeter. He met you at the door.
Yeah.
He parked cars.
Serves him well.
It was crazy. They didn't even have valet parking at Mama's. John would just park your cars. Yeah.
Walk around. Teen up
to
people.
Add that
randomly.
Little extra something right there. That personal touch right there. Good job, Higgy.
All right. Stephen M. Sipple is coming up next. Brian Edwards a little bit later. It is NFL draft day. Plus, we're going to circle back in the next hour to Reggie Bush's Heisman given back. It's not a vindication. It's just about the times, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're going to start like making some wrongs in sports right, I think there are a couple that we need to do as well. It's just wild that O.J. Dying got Reggie's Heisman back.
Mm-hmm. Well, he threatened to steal it, so he was going to grab it for him. He was going to do the dirty work for him.
Good thing he didn't kill that story. Sips next. It's Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone.